lately. I made a lot, no play. New drip, new flame. Got a new whip and it came with a tape. Going out of rip, ain't telling no fame. Cause I got killed and I couldn't even say. These talk monkey, then we get a step close. Got so much on my mind, but the word on the show. Don't stop talking, I'ma say it down low. Talk tough, I hit him with a toast. People know your actions, I'll keep him walking most. But I'm shaking bonnet for the fragrance and the love. Sip a lot of men, going 10 on the soul. Find a boy dead, so I'm head on the show. Had a real lot of days on my left. Double back on when I heard him on the person.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. Justin, what week is it?
2022 draft week.
It's way the way too early draft week. We take a way too early look at the draft. I mean, last year, you know, I fell in love with Chaz Surratt. Justin became a big Jalen Waddle guy. Ja'Marr Chase was kind of always like that guy for me. It was fun. A couple guys went undrafted that we talked about. Sage Surratt and Dylan Moses. We kind of put Sage in there just because he was Chaz's brother. Dylan Moses was highly rated at this time last year. So we're taking a look at a way too early mock draft, and we're talking about some of the players. We're doing offensive players today. We have eight guys who I'd say five of the eight I really like, and three of the eight I could really like. So I'm excited for it, and it'll go by what's in order. So what's going on, Justin?
Yeah, there's probably only one player, at least as of right now. Actually, two, because I have one for defensive player that I'm going to love no matter what because I went to high school with him. Yeah, Bobby Skinner. We're also talking quarterbacks today, which is kind of wild. I don't want to fall in love with the quarterback. Are you?
Yeah, and I haven't. We looked at two, and I haven't fell in love with either. So,
but I don't want to.
Yeah, but it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter anyways because Daniel Jones is going to be the guy.
That's right.
But we might as well look at the quarterbacks. It's always fun. It's fun to look at QBs. Let's be real. So we'll do that.
Hi, Bobby Skinner. I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm feeling good. You know, maybe I have some good news to share. Maybe next week. Nothing's official yet, but I would like to share some good news with the. I'm not.
You know what? Let's do that next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Big news next Tuesday.
Okay, next Tuesday we'll share some big news. I don't want to make a whole social media thing out of it. Not a Twitter thing. Just want to tell the podcast people, tell the YouTube people, and yeah.
Big news next Tuesday.
I'm feeling good. So Bobby Skinner, I was worried about you because I know how
big
invested.
Big news in an interview next Tuesday.
What did you say?
Big news and an interview next Tuesday.
Big news and an interview next Tuesday. I was worried
about
you. Justin,
we're going to be talking about new players today. We got some new Patreons.
Oh, you are you avoiding the how are you question right now?
We have Kyle Lutinski is a new Patreon. How about that? He subscribed at 3:48 in the morning. Now, maybe he's not an East Coast guy or maybe he's a night owl. We'll see. Charles Robinson, who reminds me, there's a writer for Yahoo named Charles Robinson who... He just does like the time, like the combine measurements. So I put toast notifications on him for the combine, turn them off when the combine's over. So I didn't get really. I don't know what's going on with Charles.
Tough.
After this year with no combine, and then Nick D'Antuono. It's D'Antuono. I think I got that one right. Justin, who are these combine measurement analysts?
These combine measurement analysts. They went to patreon.com/talkinggiants and do it. Let's start a movement. We're at 4 a.m. You subscribe to the Patreon for $2 a month, and you get to watch the shows as we record them live. Summer's it's disgustingly hot in New Jersey today, so summer's heating up. Football's coming back. Eli Manning in a 30-second video, he said the word "back" five times, and Giants are back, and we're gonna get there. Patreon.com/talkinggiants get some other cool perks too, and you get to support us. $2 a month. That's it.
That's it. All right, Justin, before we get into the offensive draft preview, got a couple little things. Let's do the Eli thing first.
Yeah, happy.
Eli is joining the team.
Woo.
He's back with the New York Giants. He is in a business ops and fan engagement role, which I don't know if you guys saw it, but he did a video with Sean O'Hare on the Giants site telling each other dad jokes. And was, you know, it was a cool video. Obviously, it was corny because it was dad jokes. But I was like, whoa. What was Eli doing there and making that? Like, they didn't bring Eli in to just make that video. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of weird. And I kind of was reminded, Justin, remember during down in the Senior Bowl, Gary Myers reported that he had talked with Eli and that Eli had talked with John Mayer and they were going to figure out a role for him with the team going forward?
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder if that's that. Well, that is what that was. Eli Manning is with the team. And September 26th, week 3, at home versus the Falcons. Eli Manning's number 10 retired, and his Ring of Honor ceremony.
And his first start was against the Falcons, correct?
Yes, yes. So starting and finishing with the Falcons.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I love how they're doing it when it's warm. I even think they're even doing the 10-year Super Bowl 46 anniversary when it's warm, too, against the Rams a few weeks later.
I'm pretty sure that's versus the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, so against the Rams a few weeks later. So it's all going to be warm weather. It's all smart. I love it. Looking forward to honoring Eli with the full stadium. And is that a game you're considering coming up for, or are you kind of dead set on the Eagles game?
I'm set on the Philly game. Okay. Listen, I would love to be up there, but it's just not possible. I will find a way to watch it during halftime, though.
That will be the most energy MetLife Stadium has had since 2016.
Yeah, because even like his last game, it wasn't like huge energy for that game. That was kind of weird. That was a weird game, you know. Yeah. That last game.
It's always a weird season when you say goodbye to people. It's always a weird, you know, honor the person, but the team's not that great. And, you know, obviously he was in there because his replacement was hurt. It was a weird exit just the last
few
years.
And we're going to be 3-0. It's going to be buzzing at that time. Yeah. So I'm very excited for that day.
We'll be coming off kind of like a little bit of a bye week because we're going to take care of Washington. We'll be 2-0. Oh, it'll be great.
Exactly. And so he's going to be doing fan engagement, which I essentially means, you know, doing these videos and stuff. Do a video with us, Eli. We're fans. Engage with us.
Yeah.
You say that, but if I texted you one day and like, hey, we have an opportunity to do a video with Eli, you would be freaking out and panicking.
I wouldn't know what to say. Me. I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, we would prepare like crazy. I would. There's probably nothing I would prepare in my life more for than to talk to Eli Manning, and would be very nervous. So
imagine he just watches Trailer Park Boys, and we just start rambling on about that.
Speaking of which, we need to figure out an idea for our vacation episode.
Sure.
And I think I might have an idea. We'll see. I'll talk to you after the podcast.
How about I watch the pilot of Trailer Park Boys and I react to it, and we both talk about it.
The pilot really isn't. I was thinking the first season's 6 episodes. I was thinking maybe, you know, we'll talk about it. I was thinking maybe me, you, and like Tolleson or somebody could do like a Trailer Park Boys like review, like season 1
sure.
review, and then like we can give our listeners like the homework, like watch Trailer Park Boys yeah. season 1. Tolleson liked one of my Trailer Park Boys tweets, so I'm like, you know, maybe he's part of the rock pile or something. All right. Anything else on Eli with this new role?
No.
It's cool.
Exciting.
Like, it's not like he's...
I'm more or less excited for the ceremony. You know, the role is just going to be like, yeah, Eli's back with the Giants, and he's going to make a video every once in a while, sure. I'm sure that even involves maybe some charity stuff, too. You know, fan engagement with charity and all that stuff, and Eli's going to make the appearance, which is awesome, which is great. Eli's always been an entertainer. I mean, even though he's been, like, awkward and Eazy-E, throughout his entire career, he's always been an entertainer, and I think that's exactly what he's going to continue to do. And it's kind of cool that he's going to do it for the Giants, too, whereas, you know...
And it's not like he's going to be, like, in the office every day. No. Like, you know, like, it's going to be very... Like, he's doing the ESPN thing with...
Peyton.
With, like, you know, Peyton's places. They're doing Eli's places where he goes to, like, college campuses. So, yeah. It's not like Eli Manning just took a full-time job. It's very much a, hey, do some cool stuff with us.
Yeah. I'm excited for his jersey to be retired. I'm excited for the ceremony. Get tickets to that game. I mean, get tickets to that game. I mean, you should be getting tickets to all the warm weather games to begin with anyway. And while, you know, while the season is still fresh and while there's still, no matter what, there's going to be optimism in the air. But get tickets. Let's
Danny
hang out.
King said the only way he wouldn't go is if hell freezes over. My question to Danny King is, what would hell freezing over have anything to do with you not going to that game?
That is true. It'd just be a little cold.
Like, if hell froze over, like, why would you not go to the game, Danny King?
Just be a little cold, no?
I wanted to reply to that, but I was like, you know what? Why don't, you know, I'm not going to be a snarky guy who, you know, nitpicks jokes.
Good for you.
But I surely thought it, Daniel, young Danny King. Before we get into the draft preview, I want to say this. Leave Kadarius Toney alone. Please. Please just let him do his rap. So he came out with his new song, International Player. And regardless of what you think of this song, like, if you don't think he's a good rapper, which, listen, I'm not much of a rap, new school rap guy anyways. But just let him enjoy that. Like, it is a hobby for Kadarius Toney. Like, I don't think Kadarius Toney thinks he's going to, like, become a rapper and leave football behind. Like, it's the amount of, like, nitpicking about him doing, like, that rap was that bothered me. It's like, let him have a hobby. Let him have a hobby. Like, there's so many worse things someone can be doing besides making, you know, a rap. Like, it's really, like, it's NFL players have hobbies. Not everybody is Daniel Jones, where it's like they just are football. And even Daniel Jones goes out and does stuff too. But let him have a hobby. Okay, all these guys have hobbies. Blake Martinez is like addicted to Pokemon. There's other rappers on the team. Gary Brightwell has a rap. Corey Clement raps. Jabril Peppers, like, I think, didn't Jabril Peppers, like, rap his, like, net signing day? Like, yeah. Commitment to Michigan?
Jabril Peppers talked extensively. He was on, like, a Giants huddle interview with Madeline Burke the year that he got here. And 75% of that Giants life or Giants thing interview with Madeline Burke was about him as a rapper. And we didn't hear anything about that then. So,
yeah. So I just saw people being like, I don't think this guy's going to work out because he's focused on rap. It's like, come on, leave him. Like, if he doesn't work out, it's because he doesn't figure out route running in the NFL. He's not used properly or injuries. Like, that's the way. I don't think, like, him, like, I just don't, it doesn't bother me at all. You know what I'm saying? And if it bothers you, then you need to be bothered by Blake Martinez, like, Pokemon. Like, Blake Martinez is constantly playing and talking about Pokemon. Like, if you think is that going to stop him from being a good football player? And he did the tweet saying, like, you know, if you, like, comment on my raps or whatever, like, I don't want to hear it. And then he turned off the replies to that tweet. And he used the letter K instead of C. I saw a lot of, like, is this guy an idiot? He doesn't know how to use C?
Or people were saying, now I am so ignorant. That he's a blood. Yeah, people were saying that's like a blood thing.
Because bloods won't use the letter C. But it's like, it's just, his name is Kadarius with a K. And it's something that he does. Like, finding out if a player's in a gang is like the easiest thing to find out about a player on a background check. Like, it's the finding out someone's in a gang is so easy to find out.
Show me your tattoos.
Yeah, it's just Kadarius Toney's not a blood or
a gang member
or blood. Sorry, now I'm getting confused. He's not a blood. Like, relax, okay. That's not why he used a letter. It's because his name is Kadarius with a K.
What if most of the people that were critiquing him were just legitimately critiquing him? You're not a good rapper. This is terrible. Beats sucks. That's
like, leave him alone. Like, he's an NFL player. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who cares? Who cares? Like, I don't think it's good. Like, who cares?
I listened to all of the previously released stuff. I only listened to the preview of the new song. I got excited. I was like, oh my God, Young Joker has a new song and I'm a fraud and I didn't listen to it. So bad on me. I will say, here's, I agree with you like 100%. The worry that's in the back of my brain, you refuse to have a Worst Fears episode. So I'm going to get into a worst fear right now. A bad fear of mine is Kadarius Toney continues to find ways to miss practices and miss training camp time or whatever. And all of this is just going to continue to snowball. And
so that has nothing to do with him rapping.
I know, but that's not what the narrative is going to be, though. It's like, oh, Kadarius Toney has time to release a rap song, but he continues to find ways to miss practices. That is a fear of mine. And I think that's such a nonsense narrative. Like, if Kadarius Toney's missing practices, then the problem is that he's missing practices and it's not his rapping career. So, but that's going to be the talking point, and that's going to suck.
And some people are like, oh, well, he's, you know, not that smart of a guy. Even if he's like,
do you need to be smart?
Don't have to be smart. No, you just got to be good. You just got to be good and not be like someone who did like is like a detriment to your team and is like a bad teammate. That's all you have to be. Like, Lawrence Taylor's not a good person. For all the Odell stuff that people got annoyed about, really the big thing was the interview, because that was like, dude, you're turning, like, you are bashing your team publicly. You know, like, so when Odell punched that Bills player, like, yeah, that's not good, you know, you get fined, but it's like, that's not a detriment to the team unless you get penalized. Like, in a very small moment, like, it's a 15-yard penalty. Like, if he becomes, like, as long as you are good and not damaging your team by your conduct, you're fine. Like, look at the 07. Like, was that a team full of just really stand-up guys?
No.
No.
We talk about it on Bleeding Blue all the time. That was a team full of attitudes, and Plaxico Burress and Michael Strahan were barking at each other after that 2006 collapse against the Tennessee Titans. You know, Jeremy Shockey obviously was barking at all the time, and you know, even Tiki Barber when he left the team was barking, and Antonio Pierce was a little bit of a talker too, and he had like a an air horn situation with like trying to get the media out of there. So those, you know, even though we hold,
wait, what is that?
There's a story that we read in for Bleeding Blue about Antonio Pierce like sounded off like an air horn in the locker room one day, and all the media was there, and it was this whole big scene. And a lot of people, like, because obviously they won a Super Bowl together, we forget how kind of nuts Strahan was at times, how nuts these guys kind of were together, all these veterans. So take a breath, take a chill pill. A good little nugget that I heard on the, you know, Duggan and Renan podcast is that, you know, Kadarius Toney isn't even the type of player that we have to worry about yet about being a problem. Like, that's the exact point of this conversation. But Joe Judge is probably looking at Kadarius Toney, you know, and with some question marks that may be legitimate or may not be legitimate off the field. And he's like, I want this guy. I want this guy to cultivate this talent and to, you know, get this guy under control or to keep him under control, et cetera, et cetera. So if you trust Joe Judge, then trust Joe Judge that he'll take care of this, and that his locker room will also take care of this as well. So just show up to practice. That's my big thing. I could care less about your rapping career. Just show up to practice.
Show up to practice, be good, have fun. Simple as that. Also, before we get into the draft preview, can you read the ad?
Of course. Of course. DraftKings Sportsbook. We say it all the time. Say it every show. It's not only my favorite sportsbook. It's also America's top-rated sportsbook. We love using DraftKings Sportsbook. My friend told me the other day. He said, you get money from this DraftKings deal, because we are, obviously they're sponsoring us. My friend also said, I get money from DraftKings too. So it is a reciprocal relationship. DraftKings Sportsbook just gives you money. But you have to be good and you have to win your bets. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all of the action. Like I said, my friends and family, they've been loving using DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. So listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook, putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention. Sorry, Bobby Skinner, soft spot. Bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Pretty weird and boring, like, Final Four, or at least the Final Two in the Eastern Conference. Like, there's the Western Conference is going to win the finals, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, the Suns are exciting. I mean, Atlanta is really exciting. Like, I mean, Trae Young, like, say what you want about that dude. He's a baller. Even when he, you know, had a horrible shooting night, like, he was playing well. He's a crazy playmaker. Let me just say this. If you hate the Nets, hate the Nets. But here's something I don't want to ever hear again. Nobody cares about the Nets. You clearly do. I mean, people clearly care about the Nets. You are dancing on our graves, and fine. That's what you want to do. But I also want to say this. People saying, oh, you got to deal with injuries. What a dumb take that is. Oh, you just got to deal with injuries. Like, does anyone think the Clippers are going to win the NBA Finals without Kawhi Leonard? No. Like, you don't just deal with injuries. If that was the case, then how come you didn't expect the Nets to win the title last year? They had Kevin Durant, Kyrie. Why couldn't they just deal with injuries? Like, it's not something that just, you're supposed to deal with. You take away any team's second and third best player, they're not winning. They're not. Okay? Look at the Nuggets. Jamal Murray went out, and they got swept. Like, everyone says, oh, well, the Nets don't have depth. The Bucks are a team with depth. Take Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday off the Bucks and watch that team be horrendous and score 60 points.
Well, I can argue that Drew Holiday, you take Drew Holiday off the Bucks, especially in that game 7, the Bucks are actually a better team. So
true. But he did have a big three at the end. But my point being is, like, acting like, oh, look, this Nets, them big three coming together was a failure because they lost. It's like, no, we got hurt. And here's why I know. Here's why I know it's not a failure. Because guess what? We have these three guys next year. If we run it back with the same exact roster, I feel like we should be favorites to win the championship.
Yeah.
Not a given. It'd be a given we win the East. I'll say that if we're healthy. So listen, we weren't healthy. It sucks. It doesn't take away any of the sting away. It still sucks. But I do find solace in the fact that we're going, if we can stay healthy next year, which James Harden has been the healthiest superstar over the past 10 years. Kevin Durant was a baller, best player on the planet. And Kyrie's injury was a freak injury. It was because Giannis took his big ass feet and stuck under his under him while going for a rebound. So if we can stay healthy, which isn't a given, we will be the champions. That's all I want to say. Is stop saying, oh, you just got to deal with injuries. Like, that's just, you just hate the Nets. Say you hate the Nets, and I'm fine with that. But don't say you don't care, because you do. This is the longest ad read of all time.
And usually the big superstar teams, they usually don't win year one, too. So, you know, keep that in mind, too. And then bet the Nets using DraftKings Sportsbook to win the NBA Finals. Can you do that right now? Look into it. I'm sure you can. I assume
you would.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOMBOY, J-O-M-B-O-Y, when you sign up to turn $1 and $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code JOMBOY for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. It was a fun basketball season, knowing that both basketball teams were really good. And that is my solidarity concluding comment.
I want to say both teams were really good. All right, 2022, way too early offensive draft preview. So we're going through eight players. The eight players we are doing are Evan Neal, offensive tackle in Alabama. Kenyon Green, guard, Texas A&M. Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State. George Pickens, wide receiver, Georgia. Sam Howell, QB, UNC. Malik Willis, QB, Liberty. Zion Nelson, offensive tackle, Miami. And then Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State. All right. All right, let's not waste any time. Let's start it off. We're going to start it off with the offensive lineman that me and you both like the most. The two offensive linemen that me and you both like the most. And I am starting with the guy who, if he was in this draft, I would have been banging the table for us to draft him this year. Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Alabama. 6'7", 360 pounds. This dude is a mammoth. He is a beast, and he plays up to his size. You know how we joked about every tackle's a guard? Well, guess what? Evan Neal, as a true freshman, started at left guard for Alabama. Then he played right tackle last year. He's moving to left tackle this season, which I'm very excited about. Like, I'm excited to see him play that left tackle role, a QB's blind side. I don't even know who Alabama's QB will be. But nonetheless, like, I'm very excited for him to move to that left tackle spot. In the run game, man, he shows up. He's one of those players where when you're watching other players, you notice him. You notice him. There's players that do that, and Evan Neal is one of them. It was, you know, watching Azeez Ojulari. Watching, you know, Alex Leatherwood, Deontay Brown, and Landon Dickerson. Evan Neal showed up because Evan Neal moves dudes. He is a mauler in the run game, and he moves guys with ease. If you're trying to set an edge, Evan Neal is going to reset that edge. Now, he's not Mekhi Becton level in moving those guys, but he is. And I think he's got, like, and it's not just him being bigger than the other dude and just mauling him. It's like he starts low, he rolls his hips through, and does it. Now, there's a time or two where he'll fall and lean. But honestly, I want that on my run blocking. I want my offensive lineman to fall a couple times. Because guess what? That means that they're moving dudes and they're trying to move dudes. They're not just trying to sustain blocks. They are trying to move dudes. And if you were to play at right tackle with the Giants, which is where he would end up playing because of Andrew Thomas, like, I want you to move guys, man. Now, feet-wise, he takes a bad first step. Like, it's, you know, we'd always call it a Barney Rubble step, because it's like you kind of like you're getting your feet going. So he takes a false step, but once that's over, his feet are really good through contact, you know, like pitter patter duck feet. And like I said, rolls his hips through the blocks. In the pass blocking, good vertical set. Like, he knows how to do a vertical kick slide, which a lot of, like, college players, like the other two tackles we do, I don't think they're great at that.
No.
Evan Neal knows how to do that. He's got good hand, like he controls guys with his hands, and you know that just comes with his strength and serious, you know, size. Good hand placement, but would like to see him be a little more violent with his punch. You know, sometimes he's just placing them because he's so big. Not gonna get bull rushed. Like I've never seen a rep where Evan Neal got bull rushed and got put on skates. Not a single rep. His biggest issue, and this is what he needs to work on, and it's something that you can work on, and I think his coaches probably are. He's got to protect the inside, man. He is very slow to react to inside moves, and that's a flaw that he truly needs to work on. And I hope that's what he spent his offseason working on, because that kind of stuff takes an offseason to work on. And I just like there's sometimes he'll cross over his feet, and I just. What I want to know is, hey, are you ready for NFL chess matches with a defensive end? Because that's what he needs to show me. Are you ready for a chess match where a defensive end has studied you for an entire week, isn't going to school and doing classes, that their entire week of classes is studying you, figuring out ways to beat you, which is why I'm very hesitant on Matt Parrott, because he's never faced that yet. He's never had a defensive end do that, even though we've seen good moments. Can you handle that chess match? But, man, if we had a draft pick and we had every single one of these guys on the board right now, Evan Neal would be the pick for me. Evan Neal would be. Chris Olave, the wide receiver I'm going to talk about next, he would be close to it, but Evan Neal right now would be the pick for me.
Bob, he's just a mammoth of a human being.
He's a monster.
He's a mammoth of a human being. There were some reps that I saw where, you know, I have the same note of it's very, very hard to bend the edge against him. It's very, very hard to get around him. You know, number one, because he's so freaking huge, you can't get around him. You know, and he has that athleticism. He has pretty good kick steps, which we haven't seen a lot of. We haven't seen a lot of tackles, and at least the few that we looked at so far haven't seen him do. And even Penei Sewell, you know, that was a critique of Penei Sewell. You know, Penei Sewell didn't really do those, you know, traditional kick steps that you see your traditional right tackles and left tackles do. I'm glad to see that he has that experience. But also, Bobby, one thing that I love is that when guys do try to bend and they try to get around him, you know, he'll lean on top of him. You know, he'll pull his body weight on top of him. And dump him, is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I love when he does that, you know, especially because he's a mammoth of a human being. He has the mass to just do that. Where, you know, some guys where, you know, there's a tackle that I'm looking at, you know, he's 305 pounds right now. Granted, he's coming off his sophomore year. He probably put on some weight. But when you're 360 pounds, you just lay on top of somebody, you dump them, and it's pretty easy to do so. So, Neal, rooting for you to have a good year, rooting for you to have a good healthy year, and pretty cool that this guy is going to be playing guard, right tackle, and now left tackle this year. Talk about positional versatility.
Yeah, he's the one player from next year's draft that I'm following on Twitter, because that's how much I like Evan Neal. How about that? And the only one I did last year was Chaz Surratt. And the year before that was Andrew Thomas.
Boom.
Bam.
All right, ready for my player, my first player.
I love this guy.
Yeah, I watched one game of him at first, and then I was like, I need to watch more because I didn't really love it. But then I love this player. So Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green is a guard, interior offensive lineman, from Texas A&M. He is moving to tackle this year, apparently.
He is. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read some reports. At least that is the expectation. Now, doesn't look like a tackle. Tell you what,
he's an NFL guard. Maybe he's having the Elijah Vera Tucker kind of season.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, he may have the same career trajectory as an AVT. So, the first note that I had, because this is my first, when I first saw him, I even texted Bobby. I was like, I may have to change players, because I watched him against North Carolina and I didn't love it. Leaner in pass pro and in the run game and zone plays. Now, Bobby, you just mentioned this with Neal, where even when in zone plays where he's leaning, but that also means that he's moving guys, and you know he's trying to get guys over, he's trying to put guys on their backsides. So in the run game, and especially those zone blocking plays, if he's a little bit of a leaner, that may not be the worst thing. But I watched two other games, especially the game. If you want to watch a good game of Kenyon Green, go watch him against Alabama. He was dominant. When he pulls, he gets out of his stance in a hurry. He moves with confidence, and he makes the defender regret he ever stepped foot in Green's way. He loves to make contact. Bobby, the amount of times where you can, like, audibly hear from the TV broadcast whenever Kenyon Green, boom, like makes contact with the guy, you know, where whether it's the shoulder pads, where it's the helmets making contact. I mean, it would be fun. I actually already made a clip and I was like, damn, this is like a clip that reminds me that football's coming back. And of course, people on Instagram got confused. They're like, what is this clip supposed to mean? It's like, listen to the freaking pads clashing against each other. That's what this clip is supposed to mean. So he loves to make contact. Good ability to multitask and pass pro, meaning if there is a stunting defender coming around the corner, he can redirect and catch that stunting defender before they wind up in the backfield. Solid instincts, but he also has the athleticism to get there and prevent a successful stunt. Really anchors down in pass pro in 1v1 situations, where even though it looks like a defender is folding him like a pretzel, where, you know, his hands are locked up totally straight, you know, but, you know, his head is maybe back and his spine is bent backwards, but he's anchoring down. You know, he's still clamping down on the defender. He really anchors down well in those 1v1 situations. He holds his ground. He's able to keep his hands locked in the defender. He's a 2020 All-SEC All-American selection, 22 game starter over two seasons. He's going to have a lot of games under his belt at interior offensive lineman, and he may even have a season where he's going to be a left tackle this year too. So Kenyon Green, hard hitter, athletic guy, gets out of his stance pretty fast, smart player as well. There's nothing really you can hate about his game as of right now.
Quick out of his stance, like the first thing you notice is like, okay, wide, sturdy base while still being able to move his feet. Like that's like the first thing you know, and he's like, his hand placement is beautiful. Critiques. This is what, here, let me do a couple critiques. He lays people out when he pulls. He pancakes them. But he's kind of sucks at getting to where he's supposed to be. Like, if he's trying to kick out a guy, it's like almost like he blocks him like he's a lead blocker. Like, he needs to learn how to, like, put his head on the right side and hit that player on the right side. Like, you know, you can't just knock dudes out. Like, you gotta, if you're kicking him out, kick him out. If
that's
you're
so
the
fun,
lead blocker,
though.
Lead him.
So fun, though. You're poo-pooing
on. You can
on
do
fun.
That as a kick out. Like, there was just times where.
Oh. Someone having a party? Go yell at him.
Man, that's loud.
Yeah.
Driving by and everything. What was I saying?
You were talking about, you were poo-pooing on a Kenyon Green and how he doesn't pull very well. Or not, how he just...
Well, I'll say, versus Alabama... Now, okay, here's what I was saying. Credit to Alabama. They teach their edge players that when they're pulling to spill and get inside. So it was a little bit of that, but it's like, you got to do a better job getting in, you know, inside on those kickout blocks. And in pass pro, he's a great pass blocker, but when he's not covered and doesn't have immediate work, I want him to get back further. And that's like, that's extremely coachable. You know, that's not necessarily even a him thing. It's more a coaching thing. Get back, because even like you said, he picks up stunts well, but sometimes he does it because he's just not back far enough to where it's like he reacts, he sees it, but it's like, he just doesn't have the angle to win that, or you know, so those would be my two critiques. But besides that, man, I mean, if Matt Pitt, so if like I said, if we're, you know, if we're picking somebody right now, if Matt Parrott turns out to be really good and we like him, then Kenyon Green would become the guy, like, just him.
Yeah.
Actually, Evan Neal played guard, so never mind. Evan Neal would still be it. But Kenyon Green, I really like him at guard. He's one of the few guards that are exciting to watch, even though I get excited about that type of
stuff. I mean, with our second first round pick this year, Bobby Skinner, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to be picking after 20, and I'm talking because the New York Football Giants are going to be making the playoffs. You know, so there's a good chance that a guard could fall. You know, maybe this guy.
Maybe we draft Evan Neal and Kenyon Green.
Maybe this guy, you know, Kenyon Green isn't as good as AVT and he's not as highly scouted, which I would still, I, you know, there's still a year full of tape that he needs to put on, you know, put on display. But I would certainly say Elijah Vera Tucker's a better guard than Kenyon Green, even at this point.
I'll say Elijah Vera Tucker's tackle tape is what got me like, okay, like, you know, he got better. You know,
yeah.
Like if you just go off his junior guard tape, I wasn't like, it's like, okay, he made some real improvements.
Yeah, so maybe Kenyon Green with our playoff first round pick that the Giants are going to have next year. And then we'll see what happens with the first overall pick from the Bears.
Evan
so.
Neal with the Bears pick, Kenyon Green with the Giants pick. How about that?
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about some wide receivers. And I know we got wide receivers, but you know what? A lot of things we say that isn't going to happen ends up happening. Wide receiver Ohio State, Chris Olave, 6'1", 188 pounds. In 2020, in only 7 games for Ohio State, he had 50 catches, 729 yards, and 7 touchdowns. The year before that, he had 48, 840, and 12. He is a flawless route runner. Now, Ohio State has another wide receiver I haven't watched, but everyone says he's good or maybe better. But I watched Olave, man, and I really like this guy. He would be the fourth wide receiver. If I just threw him in this past draft class, he would be wide receiver 4 for me after Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Better than Diami.
Yeah. Better than, Kadarius, better than, Marsh. Chris Olave definitely would be. His releases off the line of scrimmage, and that's something I've been, trying to learn more about, his wide receiver releases this offseason. They are so quick and flawless coming off the line. It's beautiful. And that transforms into route running. And his route running is so subtle and perfect. And, he's just smooth, man. It's like he's not even cutting. It's just like he's gliding out there. The way he goes, and he's got that speed to go with it. And he just understands route running, whether it's getting in a cornerback's blind spot, getting in a cornerback's blind spot and turning a double move off of that, or stacking that wide receiver. And he's got good accelerations, like I said, 0 to 60 to get on the get off. Comes back to the ball at all times. If there's anything I wanted to critique in his route running, it's maybe on outbreaking routes to not round it as much. But besides that, I mean, it's pretty damn beautiful. In zone coverage, he doesn't cover himself. He knows how to slow play stuff and find the holes in it, which a lot of college receivers don't. They're just go, 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 and they have to learn that later on, especially, the top guys. Here's what I'll say. He can climb the ladder. He can get up there and jump, but sometimes he has trouble catching the ball through contact, where it'll hit his hands, and he'll have, oh, this is about to be a spectacular catch, and he just kind of doesn't catch it through contact. So that would be the one thing. It's he could get up there and get it, but you got to bring that ball back down more. And if you watch him, you'll see some of that things. And here's a critique that isn't his fault. He has at least in the games I watched, he has no experience versus press man coverage.
They're always playing back and against Ohio State. Yeah.
But even Ohio State, when they would get press man coverage, they would run the ball. Oh, here's a nice press man rep, and then they would run the ball every single time. So that's the frustration, it's kind of the beauty of the SEC. If you want to find out about a wide receiver, just watch him play versus Georgia and press man.
Yeah.
That was the beauty of watching Waddle and Devontae Smith. All right, you can just watch them versus Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell play press man all game. Yeah. You'll find out a lot about these dudes. And I was a big Eric Stokes fan. It's so much tougher to judge a wide receiver versus that compared to press man, just close tight, from the line of scrimmage coverage. That's why I had such a trouble. That's why I'm not in love with Elijah Moore, by the way. A lot of his production was just scheme related, and he had some awesome plays, but I never got to see that guy just play man versus man coverage and try and just win one-on-one. It was just he was just wide open at all times, and it wasn't necessarily just because he was good. It was because of the Lane Kiffin scheme he had at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and that's always been the critique of Ohio State. I feel like no matter where
Terry McLaurin had it, and I fell in love with Terry, and I love Chris Olave in the same way that I like Terry.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Terry McLaurin is obviously an exception to that. Bobby, let's just break down basic box score, college football reference numbers here, because I don't know if you said them, but 2019, he had a really good year. 13 games, 48 catches, 840 yards, 17.5 yards per catch, big play, 12 touchdowns. So that's really good. But then listen to the year that, he was having, but then, the Big Ten, obviously, their season was nearly cut in half because that's just how the Big Ten went this year. In 7 games, he had 50 catches, 729 yards, 14.6 yards per catch, which that tells me that, if you're bringing down that yards per catch a little bit, that maybe means that you're utilizing the route tree a little bit more, and then 7 touchdowns. Bobby, 50 catches in 7 games, he was going to have
7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown a game. I forget his name, Garrett Wilson, maybe, who's another really beastly wide receiver on the other side.
He was going to have 75, he was going to have probably 75 catches to total this year if they played a full schedule.
That two of those, like the big you mentioned the Big Ten not playing, two of those seven were versus Clemson and Alabama. You know?
Yeah.
So, and he was a beast versus Clemson. Like, he was, you know, as impressive as Justin Fields was in that game, so was Chris Olave.
Yeah. All right.
Next.
All right, wide receiver two. George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia. George.
He's one of those guys, before you get started, that, like, his first game I was watching Georgia, and I was like, who is this true freshman, George Pickens? All right, go ahead.
George Pickens from Georgia. George from Georgia. Hello, George. I'll just read some of his stats first. It's labeled on College Pro Football Reference that I even say it's not College Pro Football Reference. It's just College Football Reference. George Pickens is 6'3", 200 pounds. He is not 6'3". I will tell you that much. There's another website.
I don't know. He looks like he might be.
There's another website.
He's probably 6'2".
I was going to say, there's another website that lists him as 6'. I think he is somewhere between 6' and 6'3". So if you want to settle on 6'2", I'm willing to settle on 6'2".
Well, remember when you were using College Football Reference and I was using combine numbers in 2020, and every time you'd list a guy's height and I'd be like, actually, he's an inch shorter. So let's just say he's 6'2".
I like that. I'm willing to compromise on that. So
he looks like it. So it's not like he's like Rashad Bateman, where it's like, this dude is not as big as they say he is.
12 games in 2019, 49 catches, 727 yards, 15 yards per catch, 8 touchdowns. 2020, he played 8 games, so a couple games less. 36 catches, 513 yards, 14.3 yards per catch, and 6 touchdowns. So. My overall thoughts on him as a player, well, here's the first thing. He tore his ACL in spring practice this year. So I think part of the reason why we are talking about him now is, you know, like, I figured, should we take him off the list? No, let's keep him on, because odds are the game tape that we have right now, it's going to be fresh on our minds. So let's just watch him and talk about him now, since the scouting...
Maybe he's a second-round pick because of this.
Yeah, the scouting report isn't really going to change because he's not going to play in any game. So he has really strong hands, in my opinion. I think he has a great ability to locate the ball in the air. He goes and he gets the ball in the air very well. An overall aggressive football player. I'll get to that. He has a lot of aggressive, fiery tendencies that I'll get to even at the end of what I'm talking about. He dives for the football too, Bobby Skinner. Like, on numerous occasions. I'm not just talking about.
I've never written that down as a note for a wide receiver. It's like he has diving catches all over the place.
Yeah, you know how many times I feel like there were some balls last year where fans were like, "Oh, I wish Sterling Shepard would have dove for that." And you know, there was a 2019 game against Minnesota where. Like Sterling Shepard was like a fingertip away from catching a football and would have been a huge play and would have been a big play. Like, it would have been a highlight reel worthy play in Daniel Jones's rookie year. Well, guess what? You know, George Pickens, I think he's an outside wide receiver. He's a little bit longer than Sterling Shepard, and we may be looking to move on from Sterling Shepard by this time in 2022 next year. So dives for the football on numerous occasions, and he gets there too. He gets there and he makes a catch. He's willing to sacrifice his body to make a play. He has the ability to separate in the intermediate part of the game, separates on the sidelines as well, and it kind of comeback routes. I know Jason Garrett likes to run some comeback routes, and can also win in contested catch situations too. You know, like I said, he's pretty bigger wide receiver. He needs to add some muscle to the frame though. So hopefully he takes this year while he's kind of rehabbing, he kind of adds some muscle to the frame. He's a little thin, so. Has a quick first step off the line. That's partially how he can beat press man off the line as well. You know, we talked about SEC. You're going to be playing that press man. He has certainly a lot of experience with that. Way that he's able to beat it, he has a good quick first step off the line. Had that back shoulder chemistry going with Jake Fromm in 2019. We all know how much I love Jake Fromm. A wild dude. And so here we go. So here's where I get to.
You and Paul Dottino.
Yeah, me and Paul Dottino. We love Jake Fromm. A wild dude. Who has gotten penalized for fighting after a Georgia touchdown. And in a different game, he squirted an opposing quarterback in the eye with water. And that also resulted in a personal foul penalty. So he seems like a fiery, explosive player kind of overall, who should still be drafted highly despite his torn ACL this spring. Even if he declares, right? He's still a sophomore. You know, he had both of these seasons as like a freshman and sophomore. So even if he declares, he's eligible to do so even with the injury. He still ranks highly on draft boards. He isn't just a one-trick pony who can catch only deep balls or only get screens, right? The Giants have been known to love their SEC players. They've been known to love their Georgia Bulldogs.
Georgia Bulldogs.
If the Giants find that this guy's a fit and he's not too much of a fiery, crazy bad teammate that squirts water in other players' eyes. Then...
Remember when Sean Taylor spit in a Bucks play? Who was the player that he spit in the eye of? It was in a playoff game. That was Chris Sims' like first playoff game only playoff game with the Bucks.
That's bad.
Who does Sean Taylor spit in the eye of?
That's it. George Pickens is fun.
Here's what I'll say. Is one, like you mentioned, I agree. Like I had all the same notes as you. I think that might be the most in sync we've ever been on a player, really, is us, me and you and George Pickens.
I love that.
Like I said, I wrote down about the back shoulders, the diving catches, the contest. Like, he just makes acrobatic catches. And, you know, he's like, he knows how to route. He's not just like he just makes acrobatic catches. Like, he knows how to run routes and stuff. He runs the full route tree. You know, I was even watching some clips of him going against Eric Stokes one-on-one in practice, and he was winning, and he knows how to use the sideline. He is a true blue, true blue outside wide receiver. It was Michael Pittman, the running back. He spit in his eye.
Oh, cool.
I think, yeah, maybe not in his eye, but like in his face. Could it be a blessing in disguise, this torn ACL? Because we're probably not going to take a wide receiver in the first round next year. But if there's a George Pickens guy in there in the second round, I could see the Giants being like, "Let's Daniel Jones had a good year. Let's make it even better. Let's get another dude out on the outside."
Yeah, because odds are, I mean, Sterling Shepard probably is not.
The argument to that would be though Slayton, Tony, and Galladay. It would have to be Slayton doesn't like live up to his expectations,
right?
Too. You know, so it would have to be Shep moves on and Slayton doesn't live up to his expectations for that to happen. But hey, second round picks, you get a guy like Pickens, even if, you know, so listen, we're not going to predict what's going to happen with the entire Giants team, next year. So I like George Pickens. So we're talking about how we can't predict what's going to happen with the entire team. Well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. He's got weapons. It's time for him to win some games. So let's talk about the QBs a little bit. I've been watching this guy since his first game. Like his first game, I was like, dude, this guy's an NFL QB. And I kind of like fell in love with him a little bit. I'm not in love with him anymore. I think he still needs to prove some stuff, but it's Sam Howell, quarterback out of UNC. Everyone says he reminds him of Baker Mayfield. And I definitely see that. He's 6'1", 225. As a true freshman, he completed 61% of his passes, 8.6 yards per attempt, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. In 2020, he upgraded his completion percentage all the way up to 68%. Had 10.3 yards per attempt, 30 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. The thing that I loved about him, and it's something that I really love about Daniel Jones too, is his ball placement. Like his ball placement downfield and accuracy all over the field is really good for Sam Howell. Like that's why he has, you know, those big plays, is because he had some wide receivers, which I want to talk about. And he is more of a touch thrower. You know, he's not putting a ball in a laser. He's got arm strength. He's got NFL arm strength, but he doesn't have like that laser Josh Allen arm. So he has a touch throw on those deeper passes, but his accuracy is beautiful. And like I said, his arm strength is good, not great. Pocket manipulation and feel for the pocket is really good. Like he knows when to get out of the pocket, when to move around. So he has really good feel for that. What I will say with that though, is he loses his accuracy a little bit on that. Like, he'll have some bad passes when he gets out and he's on the move, or, you know, and there is times where he'll leave a little too early where it's like, dude, you stuck in the pocket for another half second. You had someone, a window opening up. But that's stuff that you get, you know, you work on at the quarterback position.
He gets pretty nailed too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's gotten lit up a few times, but that's part of that big play offense. And it's kind of why I like Sam Howell. Like, that's another thing about him. You know, with Jones, like, he's not afraid to take a hit. He'll look down the pipe and deliver a ball while taking a hit. Not really a good athlete. You know, he can get out and move, but he's just not a good athlete, you know. Compared to today's NFL quarterbacks, especially compared to the guy you're going to talk about. His footwork is iffy. Like, it's inconsistent. Like, you can see it's like, hey, it just needs to be worked on and get better at, and that's something I'm going to be looking for this year. Like it's not dreadful, but there's times where it's like your footwork could be a little better here. Throwing mechanics, like his arm throw, and that's another thing. That's like, you know, the first game I saw him, it wasn't like he lit the game up. It was like his throwing mechanics are beautiful. Like the way his quick release out of the arm, like I love that stuff. Here's what I'll say. I think Sam Howell can proof that he's the guy this year, or he could be the guy who is like, wow, we looked at him as a first-round QB. Because he's losing a lot of guys. He's losing Deami Brown, who was, you know, the number one, you know, deep ball guy in college football last year. He's losing, you know, even Daz Newsome, who's a good slot receiver. And the running backs, you know. Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, he's losing both those guys. So I like Sam Howell a lot. I think he's got some stuff to prove. Some people say he's part of, you know, he's a system QB. I don't think that. But he's got a year to prove. But I like Sam Howell. Don't love him like him. But I could love him if Jones doesn't work out and we're looking at QBs and he has a good year.
It's funny. I just watched a couple minutes of QB school with Sam Howell. Now, this was at least talking about the previous year, and he was talking about his footwork, how, like, oh, this is, for a freshman, this is some of the best footwork I've ever seen, and because something that is going to connect Sam Howell and Malik Willis, who was my quarterback, you know, we'll even just start the connection right now. Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty, they're I feel like they're the polar opposites. Now, I actually think Howell's footwork is kind of solid, where he's not really crossing his feet. You know, the phrase that JT O'Sullivan says all the time is clicking the heels. He's not really clicking the heels where, he, you know, you see Peyton Manning, right? I feel like Peyton Manning is, you know, he's a pretty telltale good example of...
Yeah, that's why I said it's Daniel Jones' footwork is, like, really, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But with Howell, it's like, there's times where it's like, you kind of got lazy on this play with your footwork.
Okay.
You know, well, so it's not like he's in, like, I just, it's just sometimes I notice it's like, dude, you got your feet like next to each other and you're standing straight up in the pocket.
Howell also goes through his progressions too, which I'm not a quarterback evaluator, but I like that, seeing that out of a college QB. It's like, you're going to be expected to do that in the pros. Can you do it at the college level? And I think he's done a little bit too. So we'll move on to my guy, Malik Willis, quarterback Liberty. Arm talent and arm strength is special. I mean, if there's just two things that you really want to take away, plus he's a really good athlete as well, but arm strength and arm talent. So let's just go, we'll go through some stats. He was a quarterback at Auburn 2017, 2018, but then he transferred to Liberty. So 2019, he had that little gap year because you can't play once you transfer and all those transfer rules. So Liberty is a junior last year, 10 games, 64.2 completion percentage, 2,200 yards, 8.5 yards per attempt, air yards per, no, is that air yards? No, I'm sorry.
8.5 yards per attempt.
8.5 yards per attempt, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, pretty good quarterback rating too. Stats, I don't really take that too seriously in college, but accuracy, consistency, and footwork issues. So clicking the heels, that's, you know, what I was just talking about with what JT O'Sullivan says. Clicking the heels and dropbacks, feet crossing. It's tough to manipulate the pocket and make some throws quickly when you do that, and when you have some of those, when your feet cross like that. This is probably his biggest issue right now. It's his footwork in the pocket. It impacts the way he releases the ball, therefore impacts where the ball is going to go and his overall accuracy. There is no question that Malik Willis, that his arm strength is there, but he needs to be more consistent with his overall accuracy. And one would presume, that if it is kind of as simple as getting some footwork things right and his dropback sets, then the next level, it can help him do that, and even he has this year to improve on it as well. So the ability to work and throw outside the pocket is elite, though. That's what you want your modern-day quarterback to be and to do, to improvise and find the open man down the field. I mean, you know, list the top five quarterbacks in the game right now. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, those are just three on the top of my head. Tom Brady is obviously always going to be an exception to that. But just... improvising and finding the open man that's running, that's going across the field and running towards the sideline. That is kind of like what big explosive plays are in today's NFL for a lot of offenses. He does some eye manipulation things pre-snap and even right after the snap that I like too, in terms of manipulating where the safety goes. I think that's really cool. Has good rhythm, very smooth when he's going to his first read and when his first read is open. So curl routes, out routes, quick hitting plays. He will make those plays and he will make those throws because his arm strength is just so awesome and the arm talent is so awesome. So it's quick outs. Because of the arm strength, he's going to put the ball where it where it needs to be in terms of timing, but sometimes the accuracy could be off. He's a dynamic runner, dynamic running ability, yards after contact, and ability to break tackles is there. I think in today's NFL, I'm kind of getting used to this fact that a quarterback isn't going to be here for 16 games. I'm kind of like getting used to that. You look around the NFL, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's not playing 16 games every year. Lamar Jackson, he's missing a few games. I know he had COVID last year, but these guys are missing games. So just let them go. Let them be great. Let them run around, do what they need to do. And I think Malik Willis is no exception. He has dynamic running ability. You know, we see it with Josh Allen as well. You see Mahomes, you see Lamar Jackson. Malik Willis has things that he needs to work on. He has accuracy things he needs to work on. He has the footwork he needs to work on. But all of those guys that I kind of just listed, Bobby, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they were the furthest thing from a perfect product coming out of college. But Malik Willis fits like that brand of investing in arm talent, investing in the arm strength, and then having a coaching staff work with you from there and refining the rest at the pro level.
He's an exciting mess is what he is. Yes. He is a very exciting mess because he can miss some dudes. Like, his footwork is kind of like it reminds me of Haskins a little bit sometimes when he's throwing. And he'll just flat out miss dudes like by a mile sometimes, and it's scary. And there's times where it's like, dude, pull the trigger. What are you sitting there staring at? Pull the trigger. And it's like, and I'm not talking about like the most complicated stuff. It's like, you got to dig coming open, pull the trigger, throw with just a little bit of anticipation that's there. But like you mentioned, the arm strength is there. And when he is accurate, you know, he can have some special passes and the running ability. Like, he'd probably be a top three running QB in the NFL off rip, which can, you know, you can get away with some flaws as you get better at that stuff.
Yep.
Like Lamar, like, and that's what Lamar Jackson kind of taught me, because I was very anti Lamar Jackson because he did have like, now Lamar I think is a better prospect than Willis, looking back at with hindsight, but it's like, you know what? Let a guy go out there and ball sometimes. Like, it doesn't have to always be perfect. And also, I've learned, you know, there used to be a thing where, you know, like, accuracy can't get any better. That's not true. I've seen guys become more accurate passers.
Josh Allen has become a more accurate passer.
Even Lamar. Like, Lamar doesn't miss dudes like he did at Louisville. I did have people say, like, he's the clear-cut best. You know, he could be that, but he is a mess, though. Like, he has some real serious flaws. So he's an exciting player.
Yeah.
He's also only played 1 year too.
Yeah, he is the trend in the NFL. Now, this is in terms of,
yeah, but the same, I want to push back on that, is just because that's the trend doesn't mean you take every guy that fits into that mold.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so let's see what he looks like this year. It's rock and roll, Malik Willis.
All right, let's do these last two kind of quick.
Yep.
Be honest, I wanted to listen to Billy Reinhardt's Nets Twitter space, and I forgot about that.
Thanks.
Zion Nelson, offensive tackle. I always got to put a Miami guy, and I got a Miami defender for Friday's episode. Zion Nelson, 6'5", 316 pounds. I seen him in the top 10. He's not a top 10 guy. Could get better, but he's just not a top 10 guy. 2 year starter at left tackle. I mean, he started as a true freshman at Miami, and he has good, like, you know, like, pressure stats. Big frame, long arms. Like, he looks like an offensive tackle, even though he looks a little skinnier than 315. And he's athletic. He's got the athleticism in that. Like, he protects the edge. Like, you're not really gonna get out, you know, around Zion Nelson, especially as he gets better and more experienced. And he's got that athleticism to get outside and on that outside zone, which is, you know, not all tackles can do that. In his pass blocking, like, he's got good proportion, like with his vertical, like, he's got good vertical set experience and proportion to not overset guys. But with that, his kick slide isn't great, though. Like, it's a lot of, you know, feet shuffling together, and you know, you're going to talk about Charles Cross, where it's really bad like that. You know, so it's like he knows how to protect the edge, but it's not always, like, the prettiest. His hands are usually low and he doesn't punch, but once he gets hands on guys, he controls them with them because he has, you know, these long arms. Kind of ducks his head sometimes and leans in pass pro, which is, NFL guys will take advantage of that. He has a hop step in his arsenal, so you can tell that he's been coached and he's a coachable player. Like, whenever I see the hop step from a college player, it's like, okay, he, like, that guy takes up to coaching and puts it into the game. So that's what's exciting for Zion. Like I said, his feet can, you know, get click and he could get skinny and he has a high pad level. So that's there with it too. a lot like, now Stone, he's better than Stone Forsythe, but it was like, dude, it's like you just don't got any like meanness in your blocking. You know what I'm saying? Like once he gets like in the run game, like his feet just stop. You know, like he gets that contact and his feet stop. He doesn't keep his feet moving. And he just doesn't move guys off the line of scrimmage, which is worry. And with that, he'll get shed sometimes. So in the run game, he has some like real stuff he needs to work on, which is why, like, when I see him top 10, it's like, you're just looking at his frame, true freshman starter, and has some good pass blocking stats. Like, he's got some stuff to work on. So, in order to be good, he's got to add strength and pop, get stronger and pop. And if you come out bulked up and stronger and meaner, then he could be a first round pick. But right now, if he were in this draft, he'd be like a second, third round pick.
Right on. I'm proud of you that your Miami bias didn't take full front.
Miami's not good anymore, dude. So it's like, I find these Miami guys and they're not that great. Like,
shout out Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah.
All right, my final guy. Let's wrap up. Charles Cross, Mississippi State offensive tackle. 6'5". I saw somewhere that he's listed as 305 pounds. College Football Reference says 290 pounds. Well, he definitely added on weight, and hopefully he's even added on a little bit more weight to start this season. So he was only a freshman last year. True freshman, redshirt freshman, I'm not quite sure, but he was a freshman last year. And he's going to be a sophomore this year.
He's a redshirt freshman.
He's a redshirt freshman.
It's the only way he'd be eligible.
There you go. So he's going to be a redshirt sophomore this year. So he is going to be eligible at the end of this year. Now he could stay. Depending on how this year goes for Charles Cross, I think he maybe should stay for one more year and kind of develop a little bit more. But if he has a good year and if he's currently going to continue on this trajectory that he is on right now in terms of improving, he will declare this year and he'll be arguably a first round talent. So he's going to have a boatload of experience as a starter if he continues to stay healthy, because he had, you know, last year he did start at left tackle. So he's going to have 2 years of starting left tackle of experience. He's going to bulk up. He's going to continue to add weight. He's athletic, balanced, choppy feet, great posture, ready to punch and extend. Now, he's not going to punch like violently, and I think that's one of the things that maybe he does need to work on a little bit. But
he does punch.
But he does. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I am agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He does punch and he's ready to punch. He just doesn't deliver it kind of violently. He does get
like Parrott doesn't punch. Like, he kind of looks like Parrott a little bit. He plays, but I'll say the bigger difference is like Parrott just didn't punch. Like, he would catch where Cross, it, like you said, it's not violent, but he does punch.
Yeah.
You know, which is like something we want Parrott to do.
Yeah, and he does extend. Can easily get to the second level. Already has solid football IQ when it comes to picking up stunts, and when to pass off defenders as well. I think he sometimes can be susceptible to inside moves. So needs to get stronger. He needs to get quicker. He has the athleticism, but I think he needs more experience against speed rushers and going through normal kick step pass sets. I didn't see it a lot. I mean, Bobby, I mean, clearly I think maybe that's the critique for both of these offensive linemen. I didn't even see it enough to really give it as a critique, but I saw a few reps against Azeez Ojulari when Azeez didn't have his hand on the ground and Azeez was an edge rusher, a speed rusher. You know, Azeez did his classic hand swipe move and, you know, Charles Cross was done. But when Azeez Ojulari had his hand on the ground, Charles Cross took care of him and he kind of did a good job against him. So had a much better game versus Alabama than Georgia this past year, in my opinion. So if you want to watch a good game tape, there you go. But he needs to get just better as more of a conventional left tackle. And I mean, he's still so young. He's still so young and only has really one true season of starting experience. So he has that time. Get better footwork, not being so susceptible to inside moves. He has the athleticism. Get stronger, get bigger. And we'll see what happens this year for Charles Cross.
Right now, Zion Nelson is better than Charles Cross. But I could see by the end of the year, Charles Cross being better than Zion Nelson.
Fair.
About that, because the Charles Cross stuff is like, I think I could see you getting a lot better at that. Zion Nelson is like, I don't know if you're ever going to be a guy that's going to move dudes in the run game. So I'm excited to see how Charles Cross grows. Mississippi State guy, which, by the way, on next Tuesday we'll have a Mississippi State guy on the podcast.
Ooh. Is it
Joe? Maybe Joe Judge, Maybe Freddie Kitchens. Maybe. Maybe Jody Wright. Maybe Amos Jones. It's not any of those guys, but we will have a Mississippi State guy on the podcast next week. But before that, we have our defensive draft preview. So that'll be out on Friday. I already know I'm talking about Bubba Bolden. I know we'll be talking about Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. So there is guys that we will be talking about. I'm trying to find an inside linebacker I really like. I've watched a few. I haven't found one I fell in love with yet, but I'll probably end up watching like 10 inside linebackers until I find one I love.
You got to find a guy that's changed positions.
That's true. That is true. There's really so little information on these guys though until like the real draft process.
Yeah. Comes. You just got to watch. I watched 2-3 games. Kind of break down some thoughts.
Faux show. All right, we appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Friday. Until then, let's go Big Blue.